still feel 25.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. Still to come on the program in the next hour. From the Federalist, my good friend Chris Bedford will join us. And we're scheduled to be joined by Mobile City Councilman LaVon Manzi. Hopefully you can make it this time. But stick around for that. Ought to be a great way to wrap up your Thursday morning. But joining us now, as we do regularly here on this program, we get to hear from Congressman Jerry Carlisle, Alabama's 1st Congressional District, on the line with us. Congressman, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, doing well. So we're about a little over a month or so, I guess 2 months into your time up there in Washington, D.C. Just generally speaking, how goes it so far?
You know, it's certainly been a learning experience. It's being a freshman is not bad because so many things that are happening around here, it's new to me, so therefore it seems to be the norm. But most of the veterans around here are pretty disgruntled, the way things are being handled and the way things are moving along. But hey, I didn't run for this to whine and cry about it's not going my way. We're just working as hard as we can to get the job done for the folks in District 1.
Right. Well, some of these national topics, obviously the big one, H.R. 1, this sort of effort to federalize elections make them more national, or whatever you want to call it, it makes it through the House. Not much of a surprise there. Pelosi's got the votes. She could get a lot of things through. But I guess my question is, it does seem like the House, at least under Pelosi's leadership, still kind of in that election messaging mode, knowing that this probably goes nowhere in the Senate, and the Democrats are still passing bills that don't really, they know that they're DOA when they go to the Senate.
And I agree with you, Jeff. Nothing that they're doing between now and April 1st has to go before any committee. So therefore, not even the Democrat committee. So the Democrats are getting a little restless about that too. They would like some input. I mean, they're being forced to, this H.R. 1 that you actually just mentioned, horrible, horrible, horrible bill. You know, the biggest thing that I'd like people to understand about that is for every $200 under this bill, for every $200 that you donate to a congressional candidate, the federal government will match that with $1,200. So it's a 6-to-1 match. Now, why in the world would leadership write something that 100% of Americans are going to disagree with? But again, she's not taking it before any committee. She's trying to make a bold statement. So therefore, she's just got ridiculous things like that are in there. There's some that they expect that they hope that will stay in there. Legalizing ballot harvesting, that's one. But the biggest one for me is obviously make sure the vote has got some integrity about it, our vote process. But paying a politician to run is not right. I don't think anybody's going to agree with that.
What is your sense of what's going on there? This presidency so far under Joe Biden, it doesn't seem like he's really steering the ship. It does seem like a lot of the agenda, the policy setting, our discussion settings being done, not even in the Senate, but a lot of the things you see talking about are in going on being led by the House. And meanwhile, first 100 days, that's a big time for any presidency. And it's peculiar to me not to see, the president out front, that you see members of Congress out front instead.
Yeah, well, I think January the 6th, I think Pelosi's trying to cover up her involvement in that. She should have played a larger role because she's ultimately responsible for that security. I think she's trying to distract from that so she doesn't take any heat for it. Not for a minute do I think she would encourage it. That's not what I'm saying. But I think she left security very, very weak for obvious reasons. I think a lot of this stuff is just pure distraction. I think she's trying to pull it away. And she's also speaking out to that base that's always supported her. She, you know, Democrat Party is loaded with money. They got tons of money out of Hollywood and their environmental groups and the unions, and they've got a lot of promises to pay back, and this is just part of it. It's just part of the payback system. And will it pass or not in the Senate? I don't know. They're already beginning to pick some of the, you know, like the COVID relief bill. You know, they started picking some of that apart. They took away took out the $15 minimum wage. They took the bridge project out. They also took the tunnel project out. And because, quite frankly, what does any of that have to do with COVID relief? So I think, in my opinion, a lot of it is distraction on her part to keep from having to take credit and answer hard questions about why she didn't do more. And I think ultimately one day we're going to come down to that. I don't expect her to answer it. But they're just, I mean, they're just, the attitude up here with Pelosi and Schumer and the president and all the staff, they're just drunk with power right now. They think they're just bulletproof and there's no end.
It does seem.
But as we all know, politics are like a roller coaster. It's up and down. Who's in control? And that's not a bad thing. I'm sorry. That's not a bad thing. It's a good check and balance system. So, but to have all three branches of government under one roof is pretty dangerous. And that's what we're seeing right now.
It does seem like the Pelosi's trying to make a statement with some of these measures, but as you say, and that she's
why would you arbitrarily defund the police department? That's the one we voted on last night on the Floyd Act, as it's referred to here on the floor. I mean, we pulled in that act, they pulled $100 million from police departments across the nation. $100 million. So why would you do that as an American? Our number one goal as government is the protection of the American citizens. Everything else gets in behind that. Everything, all these other things we do are secondary. That is our number one goal. Why would we want to pull money away from law enforcement? Because quite frankly, right now we have, in this bill also, they stripped immunity away from the policemen that are working. Right now, a police officer writes you a speeding ticket, and you're going to a baseball game. You missed the baseball game because he stopped you for tickets. You can literally turn around and sue that police officer for the cost of those tickets. Under before last night, they had immunity. You couldn't do that. They were doing their job. They have a certain amount of protection, and we want bad cops off the street, period. Nobody will argue that. But by stripping them of this immunity, it's just going to flood our court system with useless, silly things, and you will never get another person to want to be a police officer. And that ultimately is going to be the biggest problem. And these are the things we're fighting up here. And we're hoping the Senate works with us. And thank God we've got a 50-50. I know Harris is a deciding vote there, but there seems to be a couple of those senators that seem to have some common sense about them.
Well, it's interesting how you bring up the public safety aspect and police. And I kind of wondered this, getting back to the whole discussion about Capitol Hill security, that, you know, in other protests, the police were kind of told to stand back or stand down, not to be too confrontational. And it seems like that's kind of been the culture here at these protests. And you have to wonder if in the back of any of these Capitol Hill police officers' minds, they were wanting to avoid that sort of confrontation, and it allowed, it forced them to kind of lower their guard. That seems to be, you know, you see this all over the country, and you can't help but wonder there was a sort of a chilling effect, and that led to things getting out of control on January 6th.
Well, there obviously was, you know, hindsight 2020. I don't want to blame anybody. You know, the people that came here to actually do harm, we need to take care of that. We need to prosecute them. We need to make sure that they're held accountable. But, you know, when they talk about that insurgent of people, so many of those were sightseers. And that's what these reports are bringing out. You know, there may have been 50 or 100 bad characters, but, you know, everybody else was just sightseers. They came, they just followed the crowd, the natural, the group effort just moving in one direction. So, but we should have done a much better job. Now, the way that Nancy Pelosi responds is we're spending $2 million a week for a high fence with razor wire with our National Guardsmen, which we stop and talk to. Everyone tries to make a point of thanking them for their service. And, you know, we've taken them from their families, from their jobs. I don't know what it's costing us outside of D.C., but here it costs us $2 million a week for that fence to be up and for the guardsmen to be here on the front line. And we haven't taken care of these guardsmen. It's been pitiful. There's cases up here where they're figuring out they're being served some raw chicken and some old food, and the catering company is really now becoming under question. So it's just, I'm telling you, the Democrat Party has got no management skills whatsoever. None, zero. They can throw a fence up, though. They'll tell you that fences are bad down on the border, but they're quick to protect themselves with a fence. They'll tell you more law enforcement is a bad idea, but Lord have mercy, they'll bring in 20,000 troops to surround the building that they're in. I mean, it's just an abuse of power. I'm sorry. I don't think most people realize that today we're shut down in Washington. We worked last night till about 11:30 on getting our last bill passed because the Democrat Party wanted to be out of town today. They did not want to be in town on the 4th. Because something to do with the queue and the president's supposed to take over, President Trump's supposed to take back over today. I don't know. It's some conspiracy theory. But this is a ghost town. I mean, all the Democrats have left, and we're here working. We'll catch our afternoon flight like we had originally planned to do. But man, they have left town. They are scaredy cats.
You get any sense at that fence? I mean, what are they telling you on the fence and the troops? When do the troops get to go home? When does the fence come down? I've heard varying things. Do you have any sense of when that might be?
The Democrats, I think, are really using this for, I've said from the very beginning that they want to come across as being victims in this whole scenario. People that flooded the floor, they didn't care if you're Republican, Democrat. They didn't really, that didn't, people angry at Congress. And we've got a 15% approval rate. When do you slow down and think about that? You know, if I ran a business and only 15% of my customers like me, I'd be broken out of business. But up here, it's a different story. When is it coming down? We don't know. That's all Nancy Pelosi. She's the Speaker of the House. That's her right. That's what she's supposed to. Make the judgment call on. I think it's the 10th or the 12th. I don't remember the exact day, but it's right in there somewhere. She'll make the decision on what to do. Rumor is up here she's just going to take the razor wire down and leave the fence up. So we don't know. No one knows.
How nice of her. We're joined by Congressman Jerry Carl of the 1st Congressional District here for just another moment. We're talking about this yesterday with your colleague Gary Palmer. Does it seem like it seems like this to me that with the midterms looming, well, not really looming. I mean, we're almost 2 years out, but that there's not really a long term strategy here. That I does it seem like Democrats have just kind of come to terms with the idea they're going to lose the majority in 2022, and now you're just kind of having this grab on the way out with a lot of these crazy progressive things they're passing, right? They call them progressive, but liberal, whatever you want to refer to them as, and get what you can while the getting's good, and the consequences be damned. And here we are, it's March 2021. It just doesn't seem to be any long-term view about how to approach things, at least winning favor with the American people.
Well, again, I think on the House side, I think it's the biggest issue is Nancy Pelosi. She's not even including her own caucus in making these decisions. So I honestly think, you asked me about the crystal ball. This is my crystal ball I'm looking into. I think this is her farewell song. I think she will not run for re-election in 2022. And I think she's going to leave the impact. She can say that she tried to change all of these social issues while she was Speaker of the House. That's the way I read it. But there is no organization, none whatsoever. Our schedule changes from day to day. We're supposed to have a schedule laid out, as you well know, to give us some idea, because we do need to be back in our district. We do need to be talking to our folks, in our district, to find out what their needs are and what their concerns are. But she deliberately changed. I don't know if it's deliberate or not. But it may just be pure confusion on their part. But they'll add an extra day or bring us in a day early or keep us over the weekend. I haven't been home since last Tuesday. I think I came in a week ago Tuesday. They kept us over the weekend to vote. You know, it's just silly stuff like that. That again, I realize a lot of them, especially the older elected officials, live up here full time. I don't and don't want to. I like to be back in my district. I like to be back around my people. I work for them, and I want to be answerable to them, not these folks in Washington.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but we appreciate your time. Yeah, and always, thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to getting home tonight.
All right. Safe travels.
Sweet home, Alabama. Take care. Keep us in your prayers, please.
Will do. That was Congressman Jerry Carl. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain.